So that it's absolutely true what you say about consciousness, because when you get in a low mood by your thinking, you get a higher tension in your body. And this tension of feeling of discomfort is telling you, you have been overthinking, you've been overanalyzing something. But if you don't know that, you will believe the thoughts that are telling you that you are not good enough, you're not nice enough, you're not clever enough, you're not thin enough, you're not da-da-da-da-da enough. Mm. And that's why if we believe that, and the psychology today is believing that these thoughts are real.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to help the young people, okay, how can we fix that problem? So what can you do to get a better self-esteem? But that's crazy, because it hasn't anything to do with the person's the thinking. It has some. It's only telling you that you are off track with your own nature. So when we are beginning to fix the not good enough thinking, we are buying into the fact that the intellect is telling us the truth.
Välkommen till podden Human Change med Daniel Magnusson. Fastnar du ofta i tankar kring oro, stress och irritation? Tror du att allt beror på att det är fel på dig? Då vill jag välkomna dig till podden som guidar dig till förståelse om hur vi människor fungerar egentligen. Genom denna förståelse kan vi leva ett liv fullt av kärlek och harmoni. Ditt ljus och hopp när allt verkar mörkt och hopplöst. Så låt nu Daniel guida dig till den stillhet vi alla letar efter. Där slutstationen är välmående och glädje. Lyssna och njut.
Välkommen till Human Change med mig Daniel Magnusson. And I will switch to English right away because probably could have this conversation in some way in Swedish, because my guest today is Jane Ellegaard and she's Danish. But my Danish translation thing in my ear is broken, so we're going to go with English instead. Very welcome, Jane.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Nice to have you here. So you're working as a health nurse and also psychotherapist.
And, yes, I do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and you're focusing on two things mainly, as a like that, in eating disorder and also self-harming.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
And today we're going to explore a little bit more about eating disorder.
Yeah.
And look into how you help people in that difficult times when they're having mm-hmm. that. So what's your background and how come you ended up working with eating disorder?
Yeah. Maybe it was the life, the vitality of life that suddenly I was just working with it. I don't know why or how. But I've been working as a nurse for many, many years. And I have met so many young children and young people who were struggling with eating disorders. Mm-hmm. And then I took an education as a psychotherapist, and my curiosity was always, why aren't we helping these young people very good? Because the fact is that a lot of the young people who are struggling with eating disorders, they are told that maybe you will have to live with this eating disorder for the rest of your life. And I thought that was true too, as well. Mm-hmm. And I was brought up in the old paradigm, where I was learning a lot of methods and techniques to help people dealing with the eating disorder and to live with it, so to speak. And there has always been something in me which told me that, could this be true? Could there be another way? So 5 years ago or something like that, I'm not always that good at English, so maybe I will sometimes ask you for help, Daniel.
Absolutely, so, no problem.
Yeah, thanks. So 5 years ago, I was running into the understanding of the three principles, and the three principles are it's consciousness, it's thought, and it's I don't think you call it life force. I think that's something to do the life force sword.
That is light saber, I think, but life force. Maybe it's something like the "May the Force be with you," Star Wars. Maybe
Star Wars thing.
Yeah, maybe that is the same force. I don't know, but life force. Yeah. I think life force is a good explanation for it.
Okay,
I would say or mind, as they say in English.
Yeah.
But that mind in itself, I think, can be also very interpreted to the personal mind with the thinking or maybe the brain and so on.
Yeah.
But
and sometimes I explain it this way, that when we are born into the world, we are born with our intuition in the foreground and the intellect in the background.
Mm.
And when we are brought up, we are very directed to the other world. And when the child is starting school, it starts to think a lot about how are the other children thinking about me, and how can I figure out what to do and what to say so they can like me. So I think that this understanding of the three principles, they are living us, whether we know of the three principles or not. But when we know how the life force is living us, then we can start first of all to see that the human beings is a part of nature. We are a part of nature. We are nature. And if we can lean back into this energy, or what you should call it, we are lived by the life force. And that's what I call the intuition that are guiding us moment to moment if we listen to it. But most people in the world, or maybe in our world, in the Western world, maybe I think we have so much attention to the intellect, and the intellect is a very good machine, but the intellect is a machine of fear, so it's always trying to prepare and predict us to the future. So it has nothing to do with the present now, and that's why if we get too caught up in our negative thinking, we will get off track with the present now.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
And I like the way you use and pointing to how the intellect most of the times is in protective mode, right?
And
knowing intellect by calculating math and stuff like that, yeah, super super convenient to have.
Yes, exactly.
And remember things, because it's quite common, and I don't know. It's in me who's getting fed up, but I can be quite fed up about the talk about the brain.
Yeah.
People talking about the brain, like, that's, you are the brain, or your brain is, but I like to talk more about the intellect when we get stuck into the intellect or the ego or something like that. Because I mean, if someone says like, yeah, I am running, you would never say, yeah, my legs are running.
No, right? Exactly.
But we're talking about the brain is making me. No. The brain doesn't make you do anything in that sense. Of course, we need to have a brain, right?
Sure.
Right.
It's very convenient to have a brain.
Yeah, definitely.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting here as well and make this recording.
Yeah, exactly. And the brain serves its purpose, but getting stuck into brain is, for me, it's like also like, oh, okay, I cannot control it, or I like feeling like giving no hope. And the same I would say with hearing something like you shared in the beginning, like, yeah, you need to live with this eating disorder for the rest of your life. That is not so hopeful.
No.
Quite devastating, I would say.
Yeah, it is. It is. So I think I can point, I can't help every people. I can't help everyone. I have I've also been I had a girl in therapy, and she was so sure of the negative thinking that it was her, and it was telling her what to do, and she had a small glimpses of that the thinking wasn't her, and I always talk to the girls about that the thought and feeling system is a feedback system to us about whether we can trust it or not, because there's a lot of discomfort in negative thinking and in thinking you have to be thinner, you have to run more, you have to not listen to what your body is telling you. It doesn't make you feel good. And this discomfort is telling you that you are off track with your own nature, and that you can't, and you at this point are not able to trust your thinking. But I think the most important things, and maybe I always try and meet every girl, every children, every young people with an totally open heart. That's the most important things I can do in a session. Just be showing up by who I am, and just embraces this moment, whatever comes. So I don't have any plans, I don't have any techniques, I don't have any, you know, we have to start here and we have to end here. And that's why the other day I had a girl here, and she was, bubbles. Yeah.
Soap bubbles, you know,
soap bubbles, and I use them to illustrate that it's just like the thought. When I blow it up, it will maybe get some big bubbles, like the negative thinking get very big. But if I don't do anything with it, it will will disappear.
Yeah.
And that's the nature of thought, that if we don't pay attention to the negative thinking, because if we know that it's just telling us not to believe it, it's like all our physical systems is working the same way. If we are starting to having a heart attack, our heart hurts, and I don't think none of us will just see, yeah, that's fine, it's hurting, it's aching in my arm, but that's fine,
carry on.
We will know that we have to do something about it.
Something is wrong, right?
Something is wrong. So or the same way, if we are in a fitness center and we are lifting too heavy weights, we will get sore in our muscles. And that's a message to us, to say slow down, not so much training.
Yeah.
And so I think it's the same way when hurt is coming, suffering is coming to us, it's a message to us about how it's a feedback system to us about telling us to get a break, to let it be. And that's the same way with our thoughts, negative thinking. It's hurting us. So it's telling us not to do anything about it. Mm. Yeah,
and that's the key point. Not doing anything about it, because it's so easy when we hear this. I'm just looking back to myself. If I heard this a couple of years back, so negative thinking is not good. Yeah, buy into that. I know that.
Yeah,
positive thinking is good. Oh, so I need to think positive. Right?
Exactly.
But
yeah.
It's not about that. It's about not doing anything with it.
Yeah.
That's the thing, and it's not even a doing.
No, it's not even a doing. Exactly. Yeah. That sometimes I compare it with when we get into this world, we are born with a curiosity, with an openness, with a willingness just to be in the present moment. But that's not something the little baby decides. So that's not a doing, that's a being.
Yeah.
So I think it's so, and that's why I love also being a health nurse, where I come home to people who have just been given birth to their newborn child, because they're so busy in their heads, the parents, about reading books and doing this and apps here and there and tracking the sleep and tracking the development and tracking, you know, it's so... my nervous system is, I can feel that it's racing, because they're so busy in their minds. And when I show them, by also being calm, but also by telling them the understanding about this, how the mind works, and I tell them, you know, the big app, the really, really big app, that isn't all. It can't comprehend all the it's just some tiny small apps, but the big app is the life force that lives us. And also I also ask the women who have been giving who have been pregnant and who has been giving birth to the children, I ask them, did you decide how to give birth to your child? Can you recognize that there was a force or something that just took over? And the more you could be in, you can lean back into this force, the better it went for you. And I always hear the same answer, that, yeah, that's right, because, and often people get, women get more children, and they can tell me from the first children, and maybe they have several children. And then when I've been speaking to them, they said, wow, that it's much easier giving birth when I'm not trying to figure it all out.
Yeah.
And it's the same. The more the more years I work with the three principles, the more I really see from inside that it's the way everything, every single kind, everything we are looking at, that it's we are doing much better in life if we aren't thinking that much. Mm. Actually, I will say that you don't have to think to live, because if you live with the life force in the foreground, then you will think, but it's more clear thoughts that come to you when you need them, instead of you trying to force them through, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and what comes up when you say, like, when a woman give birth to a child, it's not up to them.
No, exactly.
It's just it will take care of itself. Of course, you can have complications and so on, but it's not up to the mother in that case how to give birth. Okay.
No.
I will just force, or I will push, or it comes. And I have two children, and I've been with my wife both times when
she'd
been giving birth, and when When the woman just knows how to push, it doesn't matter if the maid says, "Oh, push." It's like raw power.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's
exactly.
incredible. Like, yes. What kind of sound was that?
Yeah, exactly. I never heard you said that sound for, baby.
Yeah, exactly. What happened? Yeah. Like,
yeah.
And it's
you?
Like, yeah. And it's like raw power. And it's nature. The universe, the life force is taking care of all that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's amazing. And as you say, the more we lean into, I would say that, the life force, the more easy it will be, because otherwise our thinking will be taking us astray.
Yeah.
Really lost in a different kind of way.
Yeah, because it's just the intellect is just a machine who's trying to keep us alive, and therefore it has so much focus, only focus on to predicting the future, always in a negative way, because it's more likely that you will survive. And that's just what it is. So it will often go back in the past to see where didn't you go very well, so you can do it better in the future. Or it will invent stories about the future, which never happens, which never happens.
Yeah.
And I think that the COVID and also the war in Ukraine right now is a good example. Nobody could predict these kinds of things and what it has of consequences for us right now.
Yeah.
So it's always something else that then the intellect is predicting.
Definitely. And also when we are in a low mood and having a lot of negative thinking, suddenly we believe that we are really good fortune tellers. Like this is how it is. It's just a suggestion.
It is just a suggestion. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And we don't have to obey it.
No,
because we can and that there's, I think it's important to know, because then people say, when will I know to trust my thinking or not to trust my thinking? I said you can know by the feeling, because when you are thinking negative, have a lot of negative thinking, you are having a feeling of some kind of discomfort.
Yeah.
And that is a feedback system to you not to trust your thinking.
Yeah. It's so true.
Yeah.
And we need to trust it more, or need,
exactly.
But it can be good.
Yeah, exactly. So that it's absolutely true what you say about consciousness, because when you get in a low mood by your thinking, you get a higher tension in your body. And this tension of feeling of discomfort is telling you, you have been overthinking, you've been overanalyzing something. But if you don't know that, you will believe the thoughts that are telling you that you are not good enough, you're not nice enough, you're not clever enough, you're not thin enough, you're not da-da-da-da-da enough.
Mm.
And that's why if we believe that, and the psychology today is believing that these thoughts are real.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to help the young people. Okay, how can we fix that problem? So what can you do to get a better self-esteem? But that's crazy, because it hasn't anything to do with the person's, the thinking. It has some, it's only telling you that you are off track with your own nature. So when we are beginning to fix the not good enough thinking, we are buying into the fact that the intellect is telling us the truth. And that's where I think we are doing a big mistake. If we're not seeing that the thought are only telling us that the person have a low consciousness and a low mood, and that the sooner the better that the person finds out. And that's why when I'm having people in my therapy, I always try to, like, the girl the other day would like, you know, to play with this. And we were talking about, she was so glad that I have made a nice cup of tea for her. And we were talking about the things that made her feel good. And suddenly as I asked her, okay, so now you're feeling good. Tell me, are you thinking about your eating disorder right now? No, not at all. How come that is, you think? But you know, it's so logic when you see it and you feel it, at yeah. that it's not the negative thinking about the food and the body and the training isn't there all the time. So, but when we ask the people with eating disorder, can you tell me when you're feeling good? They can't remember because they are so busy with their minds thinking that all the negative things. So you have to be with them to and make a space for a good feeling, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. Getting them in some way to calm down from the mind, so the mind calms down, so the consciousness comes up.
Yeah.
And they experience the good feeling, because if we are really low, and sometimes people haven't felt really good for a long time, it's really hard for them to see when they felt good the last time.
Exactly.
And it's getting murky, and it's hard for him to remember, and so on. And usually people getting stuck into what happened or what they did in that moment. And also that, but that hasn't happened for a long time. I was never in that kind of company or in that environment or whatever. And I think that the misconception, the misunderstanding is so high regarding how we function, how our thoughts is, that we have to do something about them.
Yeah.
And that we decide.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if we could decide it's up to us, then why are we feeling low then?
Exactly.
If we could decide. Yeah, because we can't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the flow, just like when the sea is making flow, and I don't know what's
the way the waves comes in. No, the ebb and tide.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's the same. We have to be in flow with nature. But the important things to see with the flow in nature is that it's all in flow. There isn't any static energy. Yeah. The only way we can maintain a static energy is if we don't see that the negative thinking is just a warning sign to us. Then we can maintain the energy, the negative energy, so to speak. And that's what's happened when you get into an eating disorder, because you are not aware of that the negative thinking is only a feedback system to you about let it go. And then the intellect is so afraid of the feelings, all our emotions. But the truth is, look at the small children. We are born to be lived by all kinds of emotions. Mm. Emotions, I think it's energy in motion. So there's nothing to be afraid of, but that the intellect don't know. Yeah. It doesn't know that. So it gets it will try and take you away from the emotions, because it thinks that it will kill you.
Yeah, because it feels horrible.
Yeah, it feels horrible and you can't control it. And the more you think you can control it, the longer it stays with you. It's so ironic.
Yeah.
So ironic.
Yeah.
So that's why I think we have a tendency to speaking to the problems in psychology. Mm. Yeah, tell me about your problem. Yeah, tell me about your parents. Tell me about all the things that don't work in your life.
Instead tell me about that trauma.
Yes, exactly.
Like when your life got ruined, tell me.
Yes.
Let's experience that again via our thoughts.
Exactly. So let us stay with that energy. No, not a good idea. But to if we trust and love is our default setting. And when we feel that again, we suddenly know, okay, there's something living me. Life before a thought is always fresh. And if you can just for 2 seconds get a little what do you call it,
distance
from your negative thinking, you will feel like the girl who was blowing the soap bubbles. Suddenly she was feeling just, she said, I was feeling, I remember when I was a little girl, I was running and I loved the soap bubbles. And so then she also said, and something else is that at home, I'm not allowed to because it's messy, but I can do it in here. And she was just, the energy, I could see it was just living her up. And that reminded her of, oh, I'm not stuck in that, in the other energy.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I like the metaphor of living with life force. It comes naturally. And for me, I got the picture of like walking in the forest.
Mm.
So sometimes you have these trails that deers and elks and other large animals has walked, and after a while you can actually see these trails, you can walk. And if you walk these trails, usually there are no problems. There are no branches or trees in the way, because the animals just walk the easiest way, but also not through branches and bushes and stuff. So it could be like, I don't know if it's a metaphor for it, but when we're walking in life with life, it's like walking on a trail in the forest. There's nothing in the way. No. And even if we come off track into the bushes, if we would be, I don't know, bushmen hunting in the forest, we would not force through the bush. We will go smoothly through the bush, because the bush could represent like a tough time in life. But being okay to be in the bush and going through the bush, more gentle, will help us. And then in the end, we will come back to the trail of life.
Yeah. It's a very beautiful,
like a good metaphor.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And I think it's so true, because when you have thinking where you can feel some kind of resistance, then it's the wisdom, the intelligence wisdom in you are telling you, let it go.
Yeah.
An example, before I should talk to you or for some days ago, I was thinking, how can I prepare? So because I know my English isn't that good, so how can I prepare from my intellect was telling me, just do a lot of stuff and checking a lot of words and all kinds of things. And because I know what, it's very kind of my intellect to be suggesting that to me.
Yeah.
But I know that I will show up the best way that I can with who I am by, because, you know, it's not that I've been reading 1,000 books and I have had 1,000 clients. So I think also to say that of course that knowledge is important. I think as it's not that when I'm working with eating disorder, I think knowledge is an important thing. And I know I've seen so many girls go through this, and I think that helps the girl, because you know it's just it isn't my first client.
Yeah.
So and I've been reading a lot and studying a lot, and that's fine. But I think about it that the way when I can just be present with my openness and my intuition in the foreground. My intellect is sometimes I hear myself speaking. Something comes out of my mouth, and I don't even know where did that come from.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
I sounded quite smart that? There.
Yeah, exactly. Did I knew that? Did I make that up? It's interesting. And I think that's also, people often ask me, how can you be working with this? It's so heavy and they are so sick. But I don't, that's not my approach to it, because I'm not coming from here. I'm coming from here.
Yeah.
And that's why I also have a little. I'm a volunteer at a hospice, and sometimes I sit with a person in my hand who's dying, and I think it's so peace. It can be so peaceful and so beautiful, and I think we are not. I think death. We are so afraid of death in our society that we don't even. We can't even take the word in our mouth. No. Also in the school, we won't talk about it, because then we remind the children about that some days they are dying or the parents are dying. And yes, that's true. But if we can see life, where were we before we got into this life?
Yeah.
How did we came there? Scientists are telling, yeah, they can explain how a foster what happens in the mom's belly, but they can't explain the synchronicity
or
yeah. They can't explain that. They can't explain how come isn't there more children who are dying, because it's so complex that the intellect will never comprehend it.
No. Yeah, and it's like the spark of life. And even if you create these kind of environments like an IVF when you me and my wife we've been through. We both children of IVF. So even if the environment is correct and everything, it's not the environment that makes the spark ignite.
No,
the life, it's something. It's nature. Mm-hmm. It's universe.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, it would be a full pot every time.
Right? Exactly.
But it isn't. Exactly. Trust me, it isn't.
No.
So what could you, what do you see that is the misconceptions regarding eating disorder that the traditional way of working with it? How do they work and the difference, would you say?
Yeah. From what I am doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think that in the traditional psychology, you're trying to understand the thinking, the negative thinking of the girls have, and then you're helping them fixing the thinking. You're helping them trying to be more happy, or okay, if you aren't feeling how can you be a better version of yourself? If you're buying into that premise, you are believing the negative thinking, and you are not seeing that the negative thinking doesn't say anything about the girls. It's only about us, because the truth
about
is
anyone.
We all have from time to time and have negative thinking. What I help the girl to see is that, first of all, we are a part of each other's life. We are part of the earth. We are part of nature, and therefore we are never alone, because we can only be alone if we are caught up in our thoughts from the intellect that's telling us you are such a failure and nobody can help you. And that's what the girls believes, that I'm just off the record. I'm not worthy living, and nobody can help me. So when they come into this psychiatry, you can say that with that low consciousness of thinking, I also think that many doctors and psychologists have a low consciousness, because they are trying to control that thinking. And that's not possible. Then you're trying to control what to eat and how to train and how to dismiss your thinking, or how to I don't know the right word for it, not to listen to it, because you just try and be avoidant to the thinking, and then doesn't help either, because you have to see the thinking for what it is. So you can tell by the feeling that the negative thinking, it has to do anything to do with me or any other people in my life, but it has something to do with me. The life was telling me that I've been over analyzing and over thinking. So the only thing it needs right now is peace. Be quiet. Maybe do something, soap bubbles, and see that when you are thinking. I sometimes use this glass with mud and explain that the mud is our thought. And if you look through now, it's a little clear, but not all clear. There will always be some thoughts in your head, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, but when you're overthinking, your outlook or what you your vision will be very, very flummery or very moderate.
And dark cloudy. Yeah.
So what I do different is that I try to put this down. Because then it will clear up, the water will clear up, the consciousness will get up, or it will be more clean when we don't do much about this, but we are talking and we are just being. So that's why I'm not so interested in talking about, have you been eating today? What have you been eating? How many calories are you eating now? Blah 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 blah. Because that's the intellect.
Yeah.
And that will only intellect talking to intellect is two shoutings. Because the intellect will always, the most important thing for the intellect is to have this feeling of I'm right, and I will beat you. So that's just the nature of the intellect.
Yeah.
So. If you don't see through that, you will it will get a struggle, and then that's true. Then you will have your eating disorder for the rest of your life. I think that's true.
Yeah, and because then you're getting stuck into it and focusing on the problem again.
Yeah.
And we will never see anything new by looking at the same problem all the time.
No.
So it's about changing the conversation.
Yeah, it
is. About the problem to more understanding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think it does not, you know, Sydney Banks is is the one who has been discovering this understanding. But I think that a lot of scientists and other people as well have been seeing this many times before. And I think Einstein is one of them. He said that you can't solve the problem with the same energy that created it. So that's another way of saying that when you have a low consciousness, you are not able to solve anything. You'll just get more of the same thing that you, the negative thinking. And whatever you do that, if you are, I had a girl last week who was telling me that she is out of her eating disorder and her depression, but she was coming for just the following up talk because she said to me, "I have noticed that I'm so irritated at my mom, and because I know how my mind is working, I know that it hasn't anything to do with my mom. So can you help me talk me through what's happening in me, in my thought system, and the thing that was happening in her thought feeling system, it was that she was going on in Denmark. We have something, it's called after school. It's a place where you live after the primary school. Mm-hmm. And she had suddenly had so many thoughts about, what if the other students don't like me? What if I get a really bad roommate? What if blah, 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 blah? What if, what if, what if?
Yeah.
And that's why she got irritated, and suddenly again, it was hard for her to eat. But she knew it wasn't the truth. She knew that the mind was telling her, then just don't eat. But she knew, no, I'm not going off that track. Like you said, in the jungle where there's a lot of resistance and trying to go off track. No, that's off track. So she came to me and said, "Can you walk me through this and help me to get back on track?"
Yeah.
And it took 10 minutes and she was back on track. And we said bye-bye.
Yeah. Yeah, and because the way she had so much thoughts, and I'm just analyzing about the possible what ifs regarding roommates and so on.
Yeah,
she came into a low mood,
exactly,
and then also her mom maybe saying something. It's very easy to get irritated on that,
yeah,
because the mood is low already.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and maybe because I asked her what do your mom do? Does she do anything, you know, to annoy you? And she said, no, she's just telling me, "Hello, sweetie, now there's food." And she wasn't doing anything. You know, it was, so she knew, no, it isn't my mom. It is my low mood that are creating this. Yeah. And I also think that's very common for us when we are not told that we have two eyes which are looking out into the world. It's not looking into us. Yeah. So it's very common mistake that we think the low mood, the reason for my low mood is out there. I think that's also a very, by telling this to the girls who's coming to me with the eating disorder, it's so logical for them to see, oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm trying, my mind are trying to find a reason why I'm having it such a bad time and why I'm such a failure.
It's so easy to go down that track when it feels like it's true, everything we're thinking. And we believe that life, the world of form, is giving us thinking, but it's actually our thinking that is giving life to the world of form.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. So thank you very much for this conversation, Jane.
Thank you, Daniel.
Well, if people would like to come in contact with you, what is the best way?
I have a web address, and I forgot what it Can you say what it
is? Yeah, I can say it.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's Jane and then hyphen.
Yeah, that's what.
And then Elegard.
Yeah.
Ellegaard.
Yeah.
And hyphen in Swedish it bindestreck.
Oh, that's the same in Danish.
Yeah, it is. Okay, that's
perfect. Bindestreg.
Almost the same.
Almost the same. Yeah. And then it is .dk.
Yeah, .dk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Correct. And I will of course put the contact details into the show notes to this episode. Mm-hmm. Do you have any programs? And is it in Danish? Or do you have anything in English or?
Not anything in English until now. But maybe maybe in the future. But I have been I've been writing a book that comes out here in 1 month, the 1st of March, and it's called The Inherent Health of the Mind. And it will be possible to get it in the library and in the bookstores and as a soundbook and
is it in Danish or?
It's in Danish, yes. Yeah.
And it's at the moment, probably going to be in Swedish or in English.
I hope
both.
So. Yeah. And it's about eating disorder and self harming because. I think that it actually doesn't matter if you have an eating disorder or if you're self-harming, because it's coming from the same low energy, same low consciousness. So for me, it's same but different. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Jane. Nice
Thank
to have you here.
Thank you, Dan.
Been lovely, and I wish you all the best and. Same to everyone here listening, and spread the word. If you're having people around you that you know might have challenges with eating disorder, let them listen into this episode. If you're gonna send some last words to the listener, what would you like to say?
Don't believe that it's impossible to get out of an eating disorder. I know, I've seen it on a daily basis that it is possible. And look in another direction. I think there's a lot of good psychologists and doctors out there. And I also think I'm working together with a lot of doctors who are beginning to see this new way of understanding your mind. And I think that you can feel if a person ain't helping you the same way as your negative thinking ain't helping you. So the discomfort with another person can lead you and guide you if he or she is the right person for you, and trust that. I think that's so important.
Tack för att du har lyssnat på det här avsnittet. Är det så att du uppskattar den här podcasten, så får du självklart dela den vidare till dem du tänker kan ha ett behov av att lyssna på den. Det finns också en möjlighet för dig att boka in sig på ett kostnadsfritt coachingsamtal med mig. Det finns inga förbehåll att du måste ha tankar om att bli coachad, utan du kanske har en frågeställning bara så här: det här skulle vara intressant att bolla med Daniel. Så kan jag hjälpa dig på något sätt, så gör jag det mer än gärna. Skicka frågan till mig på daniel@humanchange.se. På hemsidan hittar du även videokursen Nyckeln till stressfrihet. Det är en videokurs som jag tillsammans med Danielika Almqvist har skapat. Och det är ett program då för dig som vill ha ett stressfriare liv. Och några vanliga effekter som man kan se efter det här är då minskad stress, oro, frustration och psykisk ohälsa. Ett ökat lugn, välbefinnande, sinnesro med mera. Tack!